30 for 30 documentary on that one.
On Escobar's death?
A Tale of Two Escobars, I think is the name of it. And it talks about the relationship that the Colombian football team had with feared drug lord Pablo Escobar.
He's not related, is he?
No relation, but they used to train at his compound. The Colombian national team would train. I mean, if we've watched the series Narcos, the numbers around what he was earning during his heyday are just incredible. But that was an incredible story around Andres Escobar, that he was shot. And the whole, that day that they played in that 94 World Cup, there was an omen about it, and it was destined to finish badly for Colombia, and that's exactly what happened. Good one, Shane. Nice find there on the SMS, so we do appreciate it. There you go. And we've got this coming in from Blake Spriggs, who sends to Ray. Hey, guys, I hope you weren't trying to talk Rachel out of it. Took me 4 years to convince her.
Persistence paid off.
Bro. Well done, Blake.
Well done, mate.
Well done. Excellent work. No, we certainly weren't doing that. Just being open and honest. 1353 53, the open line number. News is next.
I'm Sarah Womby. The Australian government has condemned repeated missile launches since May by North Korea and urged other nations to keep up sanctions pressure on the regime. Pyongyang fired another two short-range ballistic missiles into the sea off its east coast today. The launches came as the world leaders travelled to the French seaside resort of Biarritz for the G7 summit. Meantime, French police have fired water cannons at thousands of protesters on the route to the G7 summit. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more.
Given the huge level of security in Biarritz itself, the flashpoint was always more likely to be in the neighbouring town of Bayonne, which, with its tradition of Basque radicalism, is well used to anti-police protests. As evening fell, a crowd of 300 or 400, some in black masks, moved up against police barriers on footbridges over the river and began hurling insults and projectiles. Police responded with tear gas and flashbang crowd-dispersing grenades, and a game of cat and mouse ensued in the narrow streets of the old town.
Still overseas, and Brazil's president has authorised the deployment of federal troops to fight the fires burning in the Amazon rainforest. Mr. Bolsonaro has blamed drier than normal weather for the spikes in fire outbreaks. He's been criticised for not acting sooner and defunding agencies which enforced laws preventing the fires. Rainforest Alliance Chief Program Officer Nigel Sizer says action by Brazil's president has been a long time coming.
He seems to now be taking the situation very seriously. He's clearly hearing the message not only from world leaders but actually from, I think, hundreds of millions of people on social media, including tens of millions of people in Brazil.
Back home, the federal government spending $40 million to help Australians with opiate addiction and patients suffering breathlessness in their final stages of life. From next month, two new medicines, Carbinil and Buvidal, will be added to the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. Health Minister Greg Hunt says Buvidal will help over 100,000 Australians who have an opioid dependence.
It's about giving them a real chance to recover their lives. And it will be available free of charge under the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. And this is a recognition of the extreme need and extreme importance of fighting the opioid crisis and the opioid addiction in Australia.
World-leading cancer treatments will soon be available in South Australia. The Advertiser reports an $80 million research institute is set to be housed on North Terrace in Adelaide's Medical Precinct. The South Australian Immunogenomics Cancer Institute will develop and look at new discoveries and procedures for adults and children. A man has died after his all-terrain vehicle rolled on a property in New South Wales' Central West region. The 57-year-old man had left on the ATV to feed livestock on the Forbes property yesterday, but when he hadn't returned last night, his partner became concerned and went looking for him. After a short search, she found him pinned under the ATV. Emergency services were called, but he died at the scene. Also in news, the death of an Australian woman in Fiji is being treated as a murder by local police. And Dreamworld's boss has vowed the Queensland theme park is here to stay after officially opening a $20 million new attraction. This is Air News. The Boomers have beaten Team USA 98-94 in front of more than 50,000 fans at Marvel Stadium. Sean Bindley takes a look.
It's the first time Australia has won against the US. Paddy Mills put on an incredible performance, scoring 30 points all up to lead the Boomers to victory in their last warm-up game before the World Cup. The win snaps a 78-game winning streak for the visitors. Sean Bindley, Air Sport.
The Sydney Roosters have continued their charge towards back-to-back NRL premierships with a dominant 34-12 victory over the St George Illawarra Dragons. Earlier, the West Tigers roared as their finals hope stayed alive by defeating the Newcastle Knights 46-4, and the Cronulla Sharks showed their dominance with a 42-16 thrashing of the New Zealand Warriors. The Sydney Swans have celebrated a 109-64 victory over St Kilda at the SCG. It was also Buddy Franklin's 300th AFL appearance. He kicked 4 goals. North Melbourne, Geelong, GWS Giants and Hawthorn also secured victories in their matches. In the English Premier League, Chelsea has secured their first win of the season with a 3-2 win over Norwich City. Wins also to West Ham, Leicester, Southampton and Crystal Palace. Honda's MotoGP World Champion Marc Marquez has smashed the lap record to clinch pole position in qualifying for the British Grand Prix, and England is 3-156, trailing Australia by 202 runs at stumps on day 3 of the third Ashes test. Australian Independent Radio News.
The Big Sports Breakfast. First with all the latest sports news on air and online. Visit us at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au or find us on Facebook and also on Twitter at Sky Big Sports.
And here is a champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tad, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
This traffic update proudly brought to you by Bing Lee. See their huge range of appliances in-store or online now at binglee.com.au.
Singapore Airlines Global Sale. Fly to Europe from Sydney for $1,215 economy return. Book in store or online with Hello World Travel before September 5. Jamison Town is late finishing roadworks. Mulgoa Road at the Great Western Highway. Mascot heavy into the International Airport Terminal on Marsh Street and Airport Drive. Concord Road slow southbound over the Ryde Bridge. And D-Wide in Newport. A sports event has lane closures on Pitwater and Barrenjoey Roads till 1 o'clock. The new LG V50, Australia's first dual screen 5G phone, lets you multi-screen anywhere, anytime. To win one of 50 LG V50s, visit lg.com. Life's good. I'm Marty, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Lunch is on again. Join your host TK and Loz in the Grand Ballroom at Royal Randwick Wednesday, October the 2nd. The fun kicks off at 12:30 when your Master of Ceremonies, Dave Stanley, welcomes you to enjoy a gourmet three-course lunch, five-hour beverage package and to rub shoulders with royalty of the NRL and racing world. The midweek Randwick meeting will be in full swing, as will the Sky Racing Tipsters, who'll be doing their best to send you home a winner. Tickets $195 per person, available at australianturfclub.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny morning. There's a chance later today of some showers. She's fingers crossed we get some rain this week. But Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 21 degrees today. Jimmy, what's the forecast for Muswellbrook and Nowra?
All right, Muswellbrook today, we've got a sunny day, 26 degrees. Mm. And down in Nowra, it is becoming cloudy, a maximum temperature of 17 degrees.
Josh Hazlewood, and Australia have bowled England out for Sky Sports Radio, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program.
Well, hopefully we're back on air, are we, James?
Yeah, we're welcome back. Yeah, we're on there. Okay,
sorry.
All right. Sorry, I'm not hearing myself. We're all over the place this morning.
You don't want to hear yourself, Jim.
Often, yeah. Sorry in my life. 13:53:53, that is the open line number. The final hour. Steve Bradbury is our legend of the game very shortly. We'll have a chat with him. Tanya will give us a sports update. Is Phil Moss coming into the studios today?
We're framing a market.
Yeah, go on, frame one.
Okay. He's 6-4 on, I reckon.
Yeah, you know why.
Liverpool won.
Yeah, and Manchester United lost. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, and of course, taking your calls on the open line. We've lots to talk about in the world of NRL and, of course, AFL. Well done to the Boomers. They've beaten the USA 98-94. That is huge. Warrington had a big win over St Helens in the Challenge Cup final, and we've got the punishment matrix from the NRL, if you want to have your say on that. Zorba has. I'm sure Dean Ritchie will have his say on it too. And so too have you and I, Raymond. I'm not exactly sure what the punishment matrix solves. But anyway, especially when you consider someone from a Jack DeBellin point of view. Fan intervention is our talk topic today.
Going gangbusters, Jim.
Yeah, we're enjoying it. I tell you, this is a really good one. It comes in from Fergs from the Riff. Fan intervention. Steve Bartman, Chicago Cubs fan who caught the foul ball.
Oh.
They even made a documentary about it.
I think I remember that.
He went into hiding.
Poor
he
guy.
Had to.
Yeah. It would have won the playoff game, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, he couldn't get the chance at the catch, and it was highly controversial, but you know, everything went into meltdown, and the fan went, he went underground.
Poor fella.
I'm not sure they've ever found him. He might have surfaced eventually, but that's a very good one. Fergs from the Riff, so keep them coming in throughout the course of the morning. But up next, we've got our legend of the game, the legendary Steve Bradbury.
The Big Sports Breakfast. First with all the latest sports news on air and online. Visit us at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au or find us on Facebook and also on Twitter at Sky Big Sports.
Well, Raymond, our legend of the game today is a man whose name has now become synonymous with certain acts, not only in the sporting field, but elsewhere as well. And the incredible thing about it is that it was that sort of will to win and the desire to continue that saw him become an Olympic gold medalist. I'm talking about Stephen Bradbury, who's good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Stephen.
Yeah, g'day, guys. It sounds like you've referred to the saying that makes me very proud these days, filling a Bradbury, which
and you should
put
be,
into
Steve.
The Macquarie Dictionary in 2014.
You go. Another,
right?
Another accomplishment, Steve.
Fantastic. Hey, mate, we ask it of our legends of the game. How did speed skating become part of your life?
You know, it's certainly not the most Australian pastime.
No, that's right.
That you could come across. But my dad was the national champion in the sport a couple of times back in the 60s. And for him, it was probably more of a regular hobby. It wasn't a world championship or Olympic sport back then. But it was what our family did, and I got introduced to it as a young age and developed a passion for it and decided to see how good I could be at it.
And Steve, to be fair, at the time, Winter Olympics wasn't, I guess, high on the sporting radar in Australia, so funding would have been, I dare say, a massive issue for you.
Oh, you should have seen the sponsor lining up.
Zero, I'm tipping you.
Yeah, it's a speed skater from Brisbane.
But seriously, Steve, how does a young person like yourself who wants to pursue his passion, who wants to do the best he can, how do you compete on the world stage when you've basically got no financial backing?
Yeah, well, you know, I was lucky enough back in my day to have some support from the likes of the Queensland Academy of Sport and the Olympic Gloire Institute, which was in its early stages at that point in time. But I was doing it on a shoestring like our Olympic athletes still are in 2019.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of where we're falling behind a lot of other countries in the world. Athletes are actually being paid a salary aside from having all their expenses covered these days, whereas in Australia, we're only still covering the expenses. So we're slowly but surely falling down the medal tally. You know, and for me, in my day, I was still able to compete because you didn't really have to have every single 1%er covered because it wasn't as specialised as what it is now. And you know, if we're going to specialise and continue to win gold medals at the Olympics, then it needs to be backed with funding.
Mm. What about, so your Olympic journey started in 1994 at Lillehammer, and you actually won a bronze medal there. What impact did that have you on you and help you continue with your pursuit of the sport? Because it's clear that that's a very important part of the story as well.
Oh, it certainly is. And, you know, for me, the bronze medal was Australia's first Winter Olympics medal.
Yep.
Which I was able to win in the relay with my teammates Richard Dzielski, Kieran Hansen, and Andrew Murther, and our goal was to do exactly that, was to win Australia's first winter medal, and some notoriety came on the back of that. You know, we're in the newspapers for a couple of weeks, but unfortunately, it was all forgotten quite quickly.
Mm.
But for me, I was the youngest member of the team back then, and was arguably the favourite to win the gold medal at that Olympics in the 1,000-metre event. And I was actually knocked down in the first round of the Olympic competition. The guy who took me out got disqualified, and I was left sitting there in the ice thinking, well, this is bullshit. And fortunately was able to put some of those disappointments to rest by backing up in the relay and getting the bronze.
Exactly, yeah. That was 1994, which was obviously a fantastic moment in your career, Steve, but also that was the year when you had an horrific injury in an incident in a World Cup event in Montreal when your right thigh was slashed by another speed skater. Can you take us through that moment, Steve?
I can, yes. Slashed is probably an understatement. Yeah. I think impaled is more appropriate. Oh. It went clean through my right leg and other guy's blade, and a person of my size has 5.5 litres of blood, and I lost 4 of them in a minute. And it's kind of amazing how much power that a human can find inside themselves when you're put into a life and death situation like that. And, you know, for me, I can remember every second, and I could feel my eyes closing and my body going into shock, and I thought, well, if I lose consciousness here, I'm going to die. And I just made a pact with myself at that moment that that wasn't going to happen, and I've got a lot of unfinished business to take care of in this life. And I was able to try and use that sort of power as a positive when I came back into the sport. If I was having a tough day in training, I tried to compare it to when I was lying on the ice in Montreal and wasn't so tough anymore.
Yeah, incredible. All right, let's fast forward to 2002, Salt Lake City. Am I right in saying, and this is what I have read previously, so take it with a grain of salt, you were actually going there as a skate maker and had wanted to give, was it Apollo Anton Ono, a pair of skates? And this is one of the guys you end up beating in the gold medal race to take that gold medal. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, Apollo was on our skates.
Mm.
Revolutionary Boot Company, we were called back then, RBC. And ironically, we actually had 20% of the Olympic field wearing our products.
Yeah,
wow,
right.
Yeah.
And we were selling speed skating boots all around the world. And Apollo was one of our highest profile athlete wearing our boots at that point, and I sent him an email the night before the race. I said, if you happen to win, Apollo, can you try and give RBC a bit of a message?
That's interesting, Steve. Can I ask you about your mindset then? Obviously, Apollo was the pin-up guy and the hot favourite. You've made the final. What was your game plan? What were your tactics in that final? And Steve, did you think you could medal?
I'd been to 3 Olympics prior to Salt Lake City, and I had realistic chances to win, if not being favourite in some of those, and it hadn't happened aside mm-hmm. from the bronze in the relay, which was a fantastic moment for myself and my teammates. But in the individual events, I hadn't achieved what I wanted to and hadn't done my best in the Olympics. And when I went to the 4th one, the goal was to go there and skate my best. It wasn't about where I finished anymore, and I was able to achieve that in that Olympics in the quarterfinals, where I beat a skater from Canada by the name of Marc Gagnon. Now, he'd been 4-time world champion. I hadn't beaten that prick for 8 years.
And you got him. You beauty.
But I got him in the quarterfinals in Salt Lake City, and for me, that was job done. And And the semi-finals, I had three statted fall over in front of me, and I statted pretty well in the semis, but I had some luck to get into the final, and I knew that I wasn't as strong as the other skaters, and you know, I looked at the other names before the final, and I thought to myself, I don't think I could beat any of them. And I had a chat with my coach, little Chinese lady, her name's Ian Zhang, and she agreed with me.
Oh, really? So what do you do
then, Steve? So we decided somewhat through experience and judgment that getting mixed up with the other four skaters at all in the early stages of the race was pointless. And everybody wanted to win so badly. Nobody else was skating for silver or bronze.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted gold.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, there's a window there. If other people make mistakes, there's a very high chance that I'll pick up a bronze medal. Happy days.
Because that happened in the semi, didn't it?
So yeah.
Just to go back, there was an incident in the semi which you took advantage of as well.
There was, and I was skating with the same tactic in the semi, but four races in an hour and a half in speed skating. Heats, quarters, semi-final with only a very short rest in between. Being the oldest skater in the Olympic field at my fourth Olympics, I didn't quite have the lactic acid tolerance to back up four times in an hour and a half anymore, and I knew it. Bring me back the next day, different story, different race tactic altogether.
I understand, but
that's not how the sport works. And, you know, if I could have walked away with a bronze medal before that final, if you had given me the bronze before the final, I would have snapped it up and said, beautiful. Finished, job done, four Olympics, I'm retiring. And to imagine better than that was completely unrealistic, but you know, I had a strategy that was different to everybody else, and as it turned out, on that moment, on that particular day, it was good enough for the gold.
Well, you are able to promote your skates. You're the gold medalist now.
The media conference was interesting. I was crapping myself. I didn't even know if I wanted to go to the medal ceremony or the media conference, because I would much rather have won, you know, when I was the best in the world 8 years earlier. But
yeah,
that's not how it turned out. And yeah, sitting in the change room after the event, the place was going nuts. People lining up to pat me on the back, some of them I hadn't seen for 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm pretending I'm enjoying it, but in my head, I'm not really there. In my head, I'm already off into the media conference because I'm trying to think of how I'm going to answer the questions they're going to ask me. And I'm through the first one. That's how'd you feel when you cross the line? That's pretty easy. Second one is going to be, well, Steve, the whole world is about to ask you if you think you deserve the win or not. And there's even a television crew out there from Pakistan at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I decided that I'd take the gold not for the 90 seconds of that race, but for the 14 years of hard work in the lead-up.
Absolutely. Yeah, great, yeah. Cool.
And to go back to your question, the questions about RBC, the boot company, flowed on constantly through the media conference, so that was pretty good.
Exactly. You mentioned 14 years, and that's not often spoken about, is it, Steve? People look at that moment when there was that fall on the final bend and you skated through to win the goal, but no one really goes back and talks to you about the 14 years of sacrifice that you had to do to get to that point of your career.
Yeah, well, you know, this interview is going for a while now, and we're almost getting into the point of background, which doesn't usually happen in media. They only focus on the result, you know, and for me, you know, in short, I trained 5 hours a day, 6 days a week for 14 years to become an overnight success.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Extraordinary. Yeah. That's what's not often spoken about, is it?
Steve, in the quiet moments since, in the time when you get a chance to reflect, do you know why on that day, in that particular way, that you became an Olympic champion? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, you're going deep on me now.
Yeah, oh, I want to hear it, Steve.
Yeah, well, I have reflected, and if you had asked me before that Olympics if I believed in karma, I would have said no. Afterwards, I'm not so sure, because you know, I think whilst I raced hard and, you know, I took no prisoners out there on the ice, I think I treated people fairly through my life, and
yes,
I helped people where I could. And just maybe I built up a whole lot of karma points over the years and I cashed them all in at once.
What a great mindset.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Hey, Steve, this might be easy but also difficult, if that makes any sense to answer, but how did that gold medal change your life?
Well, it changed it in every way. Mm. I mean, I finally started to make a few dollars from the sport the day that I retired. Which,
funny how it works,
yeah. Which to me kind of felt like it was a bit backwards. So that was nice. And everyone wanted to know my story. You know, I was a speed skater from Brisbane training away in the black box, back blocks in Acacia Ridge for nearly 20 years and no one wanted to know. And then the day that I retired, everybody wanted to know. So I was happy to start talking about my story as well. And you know, that kind of led me into going on stages at conferences and corporate dinners and sportsmen's lunches at schools and all that sort of thing. And,
yeah.
And I've become a bit of an expert at that these days. You know, I'd like to say that I'm still an expert at racing at the Olympics and seeing where I finish, but I'm past it.
Mm.
And that sort of adrenaline, I just don't get in my life anymore. But where I do get the adrenaline, which for a person like me I need, is on stage. And, you know, I've spoken at over 1,350 events in 21 countries these days.
Hey.
And, you know, I work with a professional speechwriter and a comedian to hone my craft. If anyone wants to know any more, they can check it out at stephenbradbury.com.
Yeah, motivational speaker. And, Steve, I understand there could be, or there is a movie in the pipeline, Last Man Standing is its name, I think, and hopefully that will portray those years of sacrifice and put all this into context.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm pretty excited about that project. It's been an off-again, on-again, off-again for over a decade. And Last Man Standing was the title that the producers were rolling with originally, but now it's simply going to be called Bradbury.
Fair enough, yeah.
And, I'm hoping that when the movie comes to the big screen in a couple of years' time, that it's a movie where parents can take their kids and it's all positive. You know, there's so much negativity in the world these days, and I think it needs to be a story where you can take your kids along and at the end of it you can go, you see what you're doing. If you're prepared to give it everything you've got, then you put yourself in position to have something good happen down the track.
Yeah. Well, they say good things happen to good people,
yeah.
Steve, and I think you've just explain to our listeners exactly how that has occurred for you. Mate, it's a fantastic story, and it's great to dig a little deeper because we know that there is always more depth to those stories. Been fantastic having you on the program today, and thanks for
legend,
being our legend of the game.
Yeah, cheers, guys. And I feel like the good person thing's right, but it didn't quite feel like that on Survivor recently. that's brutal, that game.
Yeah. there's karma coming their way, Steve.
Yeah, we were going to ask you about that. Yeah. You had your strategy all out and everything, didn't you?
I did, and it played out perfectly for about 5 minutes. and then some people rolled on it that didn't have enough discipline, and I got hung out to dry. But, yeah, that's a different playing field. That show, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely.
Steve, it's been great talking to you. I really appreciate it, mate, for our true legend of the game, Stephen Bradbury. Thanks so much, Steve.
Yeah, cheers, guys, and look out for Last Man Standing Aussie Lager, hopefully coming to a pub near you soon.
There you go.
No doubt about you, commercial animal.
Good on you, Steve. Thanks so much, mate.
See you, guys.
And here is a champion, Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
If I'm not firing nails, I'm not making money. I've got no time for downtime. But with a PAS load, Impulse Frame Masters reliability and high-speed performance, I power through the day. And because they're lighter, the job gets done faster and easier every time. PAS load tools are made to work. Check them out at pasload.com.au now or follow their socials at PASLoadANZ. I'm making it with PAS load. Reliability, comfort, performance.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wide-line windows and doors, state-of-the-art livable showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wide-line Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
England captain Joe Root has stalled Australia's what looked like run to retaining the Ashes, digging in to be 75 overnight in the third cricket test at Headingley. The home side was set a target of 359 after Australia was bowled out a half an hour before lunch for 246, Manus Labuschagne top scoring with 80. After losing openers Burns and Roy for 15, Root is 75 not out, Denley put on 50 and Stokes not out on 2. So it stumps on day 3, England 3 for 150. 56, requiring a further 203 for victory and 2 days to do it in. Couple of easy wins in the NRL yesterday. The West Tigers recorded its best win in 4 years, 46-4 over Newcastle in Campbelltown. Benji Marshall starred, setting up 5 tries. In the early game, Cronulla scored 7 tries to beat the Warriors 42-16. Last night, the Roosters led St George Illawarra 28-0 at half time. The Dragons lifted for the second half, but not enough. The Roosters winning 34-12. Tristan Saylor, son of Wendell, scored for the Dragons in his NRL debut. Today, Melbourne hosts the Gold Coast, and in a blockbuster on paper, Canberra versus Manly in Canberra. GWS great Jeremy Cameron won the Coleman Medal by three-quarter time in last night's AFL game against the Gold Coast. The award is for the most goals per season. He kicked a career high of 9 by the end of the match, finishing with 67, beating North Melbourne's Ben Brown, who kicked 64. The Giants won the game by a confidence-boosting 72 points. The Swans send off the retiring Kieran Jack and Jared McVeigh with a win 109-64 over St Kilda. Lance Franklin scored 4 goals in his 300th game. Hawthorn beat West Coast, Geelong over Carlton, and North Melbourne 88, Melbourne 83. In Super Netball, GWS had a 10-point win over West Coast, 70-60 in the match in Sydney to stay in finals contention, but could be overtaken today if Collingwood beat the Vixens and gain more than 7 ladder points. The Swifts won a thrilling dead rubber, just getting away with a 1-point win over the last-placed Queensland Firebirds. Semi-finals start next week. Boomer star Paddy Mills is hoping Australia's historic win over Team USA will help boost the sport in this country and inspire the next generation of local basketballers. Mills led Australia with 30 points, including 13 in the final quarter, to stun the Americans 98-94 in front of 52,000 fans at Marvel Stadium yesterday. It was Team USA's first loss in 13 years. Liverpool preserved its 100% winning start to the EPL season as Mo Salah scored twice to help the Reds to a 3-1 win over Arsenal at Anfield. Elsewhere, Norwich 2, Chelsea 3, Brighton 0, Southampton 2, Man United 1, Crystal Palace 2. Palace manager Roy Hodgson hailed it an heroic victory. It's their first win at Old Trafford since 1989. Sheffield United 1, Leicester 2, and Watford 1, West Ham 3. Mustaghi, partly owned by Australian Bloodstock, won the Ebor at York overnight, shooting to the front with a quarter of a mile to run. He'll now take his place in the Melbourne Cup and be trained by Chris Lees. The US Tennis Open begins tomorrow night in New York with 11 Aussies in action. Second seed Ash Barty is on Arthur Ashe Stadium for her first match on day one against Zarina Diaz of Kazakhstan, and that'll be around 2 a.m. Tuesday morning. And third round of the Tour Golf Championships in Atlanta was suspended due to inclement weather after 2 lightning strikes injured 4 people. Justin Thomas leads at 12 under from Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka at 11 under. And just quickly, boys, the front runner to play Stephen Bradbury in his movie was Liam Hemsworth, which would look, I think he would look pretty good. He'd just have to you know, bleach his hair and scruff it up a little bit. However, his biceps are too big, and this is what Stephen was saying, his biceps are too big and his quads are too small. So whomever takes that role is going to spend a hell of a lot of time in the gym doing a lot of squats.
Hang on, go again, Roman.
We're working now.
Yep.
Back on the game. Yeah, yep. That's going to be the problem, isn't it, Tan? Can't work on the upper body, we'll work on the lower body.
Yeah, to find somebody with that physique. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, I'll look forward to that whenever it comes out.
Poor old Liam, he's been in the news a bit, hasn't he?
He'll be looking for a chance to escape, so maybe to come to Australia for a while might work well for
him. He's in Australia at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he up at Byron?
Well, I think that the Hemsworth-Thor conversion around Byron Bay, don't they? When they need somewhere to take off to.
They've got a bit of a compound up there.
It is. I've seen it. It's massive, in fact. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Tam. We do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to talk some football. We do that with our football expert. It's Phil Moss, and occasionally he'll come into the studio, but today we've got him on the phone. G'day, Phil.
A very good morning to you, Ray, and maybe not such a good morning to you, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Based on overnight results, mate.
I can't believe you're not in here based on the fact that Liverpool have a win, so that, you know, gets you a little bit excited. And then after that, Manchester United losing at home, I thought you'd be all over being in here live.
Well, that could be the argument for me being in there every day of the season, then.
Oh, come on, mate. Come on. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Right, let's get through.
United play Crystal Palace at home.
Yeah.
Like, what's doing there, Jimmy?
Well, I don't know.
Well, look, I know I'm the supposed expert, but you're the Manchester United fan, so maybe I need to get your take on that.
Well, all I know is if you're any hope to be qualifying for Europe, you don't lose games at home, especially the Crystal Palace.
Mm. You don't. You're dead right. And, look, it was one of those where, you know, I didn't watch the full game, but I certainly watched the pointy end of it. And it was just some of the defending from Manchester United at home. To give away that give away the game in the 93rd minute to Van Aanholt, who scored, beat De Gea at his near post. It was schoolboy defending, and it was terrible goalkeeping by De Gea as well. It's just not what you expect from, you know, from top players like that. And again, the headline is Manchester United lose at home to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time. I think Tam might have just said it in their update. It's the first time in many, many a year, but it's not a good sign.
Mm.
Well, Liverpool did beat Arsenal 3-1 at home. Mo Salah fighting a brace. What do we make of that, Phil?
Well, let's not harp too much because it was only Arsenal, right?
Oh.
No, I say that very much.
Both teams unbeaten going to Anfield for that game.
Yeah, that's right. Look, at top of the table, early in the season to be top of the table, but certainly the two teams had had a perfect start to the season. But Liverpool were just ruthless either side of half-time, and that man, Mo Salah, has started the season in red-hot form. And the way he took his second goal last night shows what sort of headspace he's in. It was just absolutely brilliant. The way he took his defender on with his first touch, still had plenty of ground to cover, but when he got in that zone, he just calmly side-footed it into the far bottom corner, and that's Mo Salah at his best. So some really, really ominous signs there.
He's still shaking his head.
Oh, it's a dead set loving when you two get to, oh, yeah, Mo did this and then Mo did that. And, oh, look what Jürgen's done. Isn't he fantastic? Righto, what about giving us a winner for the listeners for these games that are remaining in the EPL?
Man City. That's it, Jimmy. I've actually got a little multi here. And it's an EPL into La Liga, just to get a little bit of value. And I've gone with Spurs to beat Newcastle, which is a banker.
Yes.
Into Wolves to beat Burnley, which is a really important game for both clubs. Wolves sitting in 18th at the moment. And I know it's early in the season, but you don't want 18, 19 or 20 next year team name, because that's the relegation zone, as we all know. And even early in the season, that builds pressure. So that's a big one for Wolves at home. And I've gone for Real Sociedad to go to Mallorca in La Liga. Last week, Real Sociedad started with a draw away to Valencia, which is not an easy place to go. So I just think that's a nice little handy add-on to a multi.
Okay. Yeah, we like the look of that. Well done. Yeah.
Thanks,
No, actually, it's got to win first, so without getting too carried away with it. Now, did we talk about Leicester inflicting Sheffield United's first defeat?
Yeah, look, I think we should, because the goal that won it, Jamie Vardy scored the first one for Leicester. It was obviously away, Sheffield United at home, and they're the new boys in the league and haven't been there for about 12 years, but they've certainly started the season pretty well. But Vardy scored a good goal to start proceedings, and then Harvey Barnes scored a missile to win it with a half volley from outside the box that literally the goalkeeper didn't even have a chance to move his head to watch it going. It went back quickly, and it was a fantastic goal worthy of winning any game. So big, big 3 points there for Leicester away.
Hey, Phil, the FFA have announced an independent inquiry into the Alan Stachic sacking. What's your take on this, Phil?
It's an interesting one, Ray. It's I'm just not, you know, I've got a couple of caps on, obviously. I've got my my football fans cap on, where I want what's best for the game. But I've also got my Football Coaches Australia cap on, where we want more respect for coaches. And you know, we need proper processes. And the big question here is it really, how independent is it going to be? The FFA board have handpicked the three that are going to sit on, including Rod McGeoch. And Liz Ellis, who we all know, is the ex-netball captain.
Yep.
And it's certainly nothing personal against anyone who's been selected for this committee, but can it be independent if the FFA board have selected it? And is it going to bring us an outcome of due process, procedural fairness, and a unified grievance procedure? And that overarching respect for coaches that we really don't believe is there in this case and many other cases. So it's less about Alan Stajic and more about, you know, coaching in a broader capacity at the professional level, because it's not a hobby. Mm. It's a livelihood, and we don't believe that there's fair processes around, you know, what happens to coaches if the team's not winning.
Okay, well, with your head of Professional Coaches Association hat on, are you concerned about the independence of the inquiry?
I am, yes. Mm. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The one that I've just mentioned, but also in the terms of reference, there is no allowance for third-party submissions. And there's going to be a lot of people out there who have got very crucial information that should be very, very important to an independent inquiry. And if that's not allowed, then I do fear for how independent this will be. It says very clearly, senior management will be interviewed. Well, of the senior management, there's some who have already left the building and there's others who are on their way out.
Mm.
So I do have concerns as to how independent it will be and whether we'll achieve the desired outcomes, which will help move the game forward.
Well, as Stewie Clark always says, if there's going to be an inquiry conducted, make sure you're conducting it and not the subject of it. I think that's the lesson for everyone in that. Good on you, Mossy. Lucky win for Liverpool. Anyway, we'll speak again next week.
Good on you guys. Enjoy the walk today.
Good on you, Phil.
There he is. Phil Moss, our footballing expert. We'll take a break. After the break, Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in rugby league. And, of course, we'll take your calls on the open line, 1353
53. Tabcorp and Sky Sports Radio support OzHarvest. OzHarvest collects quality excess food from commercial outlets and directs to 900 charities around Australia in a bid to eliminate hunger and food waste. Learn more at ozharvest.org.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Exclusive Vic and SA Thoroughbreds. Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people that would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. I hope you're enjoying your Sunday morning. We're just about done here, Ram. Doesn't it fly when you're having fun?
It must admit.
Well, tell you what, we are getting overwhelming responses on the Steve Bradbury interview. G'day, guys. Imagine if GoPros were around back when Steve Bradbury raced. The footage from his perspective coming around that last bend would have been awesome. That's from Stu. That's a very good point. Wow, didn't think I'd have much interest in the Bradbury interview. All I can say is, wow, fantastic, JFG. Hi, team. What an inspiring interview with Steve Bradbury. For anyone in whatever it is they do, resilience, perseverance and hard work can and will pay dividends in the long run. Bunny boy.
And I loved his summation of why he won the gold medal. Karma.
Yeah.
All the years of doing the right thing and being a decent person and being sportsmanlike in his endeavours, all that karma rolled into one in that one moment that's going to define his life, but for the right reasons.
And the incredible thing is very quickly before he went to the press conference, he realised it wasn't about the 90 seconds out there, it was about all that stuff that you spoke about.
Yeah.
Well, great interview. So, thank you again, Steve Bradbury. Time now to speak some rugby league, and we do that with the number one rugby league writer of the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, is on the line. G'day, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy, and good morning to you, Ray.
How are you, Dino?
Hey, mate. We've got a front page here, the Sunday Telegraph. NRL's idiot code, rugby league to enforce tough new punishments. The punishment matrix is what they're calling it. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't mind it, Jimmy. I think it gives everybody transparency. It gives them clarity. And I think in terms of the players, there'll be a consistent code of punishment here where everyone will know exactly the punishment that they will get if they misbehave. There's no more airy-fairy, no more inconsistencies. Look, it's there, it's structured, it's clearly in black and white. You know, if you do a certain crime off the field, that this is your punishment. So there can be no complaining, no whinging, no moaning now. You do the crime, you know exactly the time that you will spend out of rugby league.
Dino, Jimmy's point was well made earlier. In a situation like the Jack DeBellin case, how does this so-called new code apply when Jack DeBellin's case hasn't even gone before the courts yet?
Oh, look, well, there's certainly going to be some issues in there. When I say it's black and white, it's clear, but as Jimmy rightly points out, there is going to be times where it's going to be contested. I mean, you're never going to get the perfect system. It's a bit like the judiciary, but at least it's a step in the right direction in terms of getting that consistency that we need. Quite clearly, the NRL has also had enough of clubs stepping in and issuing penalties for misbehaving players. They've now taken that away from the clubs and they'll do it themselves. So I think we're moving in the right direction. Certainly, Jimmy makes a valid point. You're not going to get 100% consistency, but I think it's certainly a step in the right direction so that everyone knows where we're going and everyone is on the same page and there can be no questioning now any punishment or its severity.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. I think you will get consistency across everything now. The problem is, when do you apply that consistently?
In Jack DeBellin's
because
light
with
case.
Jack DeBellin, it's going to take 12 months at least.
Longer.
Before, and as a result of that, you get all the unwanted headlines that you can't control. But then you say, well, hang on, where does he fit in the matrix? Well, we don't know. He hasn't been in court yet. Oh, well, let's stand him down. Is it serious enough? Oh, well, then it becomes an issue
in
itself.
Innocent till proven guilty.
That's right. That's right. It's not there's no one simple solution, and that's the challenge around it. Josh Reynolds, I did the NRL Tonight program on Fox Sports on Thursday night with Josh. He's a great fella. He's a real competitor. It was good to see him back last night. What's the future hold for him, Dino?
Yeah, Jimmy, there's a few clubs sniffing around Josh Reynolds in terms of the finances. The latest club I'm hearing who have shown some interest, I don't think they've formally lodged a contract offer, but I'm hearing the Dragons may have spoken internally about Josh Reynolds and what he could bring to the club, which, of course, would be the two E's we love about Josh: experience and enthusiasm. The Dragons are looking to shift Ewan Aitken and Matt Duffy, and, of course, let's not forget Gareth Widdop will finish up there too. So they have a bit of money. So it'll depend on what the Tigers are prepared to tip in of Josh's $900,000 a year. But certainly, you can put it down as read that the Dragons, there is some interest there in Josh Reynolds. And if they can get him at the right price, I think for a club like St George Illawarra, who is struggling, I think he might be a good addition in terms of what he would bring to the club, albeit it may not be long-term, but they need something in the Dragons, and they need it quickly.
Can I throw up another one? Justin Holbrook was Josh Reynolds' coach in the lower grades for a couple of years at the Bulldogs, and they won comps there together. So he's the type of bloke who you know was got there, and his effort, as you say, enthusiasm, no problem on that. He might be a fit for the Gold Coast.
Jimmy, you're right. I've spoken about this about a week ago, that definitely they're not saying anything in the Gold Coast at the moment. Holbrook hasn't even got his feet under the table just yet, but I can tell you, as you've just alluded to, he's got a huge rap on Reynolds. He's just seeing the lay of the land, but I wouldn't dismiss the Gold Coast either. I think they'll have a crack at Reynolds within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Hey, Dino, the Newcastle situation with Nathan Brown in particular, how do you see that playing out now for Nathan Brown going forward? Is there a club he could go to, say, in 2020? And we all saw what happened last night, didn't we, the Knights? They were terrible against the Tigers.
Oof.
Yeah, Ray, I've just got a question, I guess, how it all panned out. It all seemed a bit loose up there to me. And the fact, how were this? The fact that Nathan went in and then resigned, obviously there was a clear indication that he was unwanted. I mean, Nathan has done a lot of work to rebuild that club. I can't see why he would want to walk away unless he was essentially told that there was going to be a review and he wasn't going to be the coach moving forward. Now, Nathan's done a good job in recruitment, but certainly the results haven't been great. I think that's there for all to see. But for this to happen right now, 3 to 4 weeks out from the semi-finals, with the club still in the hunt, and then to watch what unfolded at Campbelltown last night, I think there's got to be some questions as to how and why it all happened now, why it's exploded a month out from the semis, why the Knights are going to miss out again, and an apology should be given to the Knights fans who religiously turn up every week, rain, hail or shine, that their side
in numbers,
is going down again and missing the finals. I think it's a terrible situation to happen right here and now.
Can I have a stab at it? So, Troy Pezet's there, who used to work for Titan Management, which is where Isaac Moses used to work. Now, Isaac Moses convinced Dave Clemmer to become his client and then immediately took him to Newcastle on double the amount of money he was at the Bulldogs. And he was in the ear of Phil Gardner, the CEO, talking about his other client, Adam O'Brien, who is the assistant coach at the Roosters. And Isaac Moses has a notoriously difficult relationship with Nick Politis at the Roosters, and that has further been exacerbated by the fact that Adam O'Brien, who had a clause in his contract that said he couldn't negotiate with another NRL club until he'd been at the Roosters 2 years, is going to take off less than 1 year into his three-year contract. So there's so much stuff at play here, Dino.
Well, it just shows you again, Jimmy, how much power and influence player managers have.
Yep.
None of us want them to have that much, but they do. They simply have that power. They can manoeuvre players and coaches around to suit themselves, and it can be highly disruptive. I spoke to the Roosters a number of times through the week, and they were filthy that this has happened 3 weeks out from the finals.
Terrible timing.
They're cruising along beautifully. We all know that. They're looking at back-to-back titles. And then suddenly, Adam O'Brien is all over the back page, 9 months into a three-year deal after committing to the club that he would be there for 3 years.
Yep. Yep.
It's a mess.
I can see why the Roosters are cranky, Jimmy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Dino, two games today. A cracker down at Canberra, isn't it? Raiders v. Seagulls.
Yeah, that's the 4 o'clock game, GIO. They're expecting another 20,000 down there today.
Wow.
The Raiders crowds are really coming along quite nicely. There's not a lot of news out of the team changes. Joseph Tarpey unavailable through ribs. That means Ryan Sutton will start as lock. But from the team that Ricky named on Tuesday night, they should be 1 through 17. And we've checked in with Manly. They're not expecting any late changes either for that game. And, of course, there is a 2 o'clock game, Melbourne Storm versus Titans, Amy Park. Will Chambers goes out of that Melbourne Storm side. Sprained ankle, 2 to 4 weeks. Curtis Scott will be the new centre. Tom Eisenhuth comes into the bench for Joe Simpson. Simpson and the Gold Coast from the team named on Tuesday. They should be 1 through 17. But certainly that's a GIO stadium game. Should be an absolute belter this afternoon.
Any other news around, mate?
Yeah, Alex Glenn, Jimmy. He's off contract up there at the Broncos. They thought initially that they couldn't afford him, but they've had some negotiations, had a lot of chats over the past few weeks. It now looks like he may well secure a new deal up there for another year. So watch for Alex Glenn to stay up there. And Happy Coruscant, we've spoken about him before,
yep.
The Warriors and the Dogs are two sides that have expressed interest. I'm now hearing that Penrith have also expressed an interest in perhaps Happy Coruscant. So I think we'll find in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll find out where Coruscant's going, but you can add Penrith to the list of possible suitors.
Good player, but I understand why Manly want to keep Manasseh Fainu. He's an outstanding young player. Good on you, Dino. Enjoy that game today, mate.
I think you'll find too, Jimmy, just before I go, that the reason Manly have got rid of Coruscant is that they just need some money to keep Tom and Jake. That's the main reason. Apart from the Fainu situation, I think you'll find that there's a scrambling around to get some coin to keep the brothers.
They might be running around with 8 players next year. If they get paid their market value.
Just quickly, Alex Johnson missing for South for a few weeks now, bone bruising. I think you'll find he'll come back this week in reserve grade and then the following week back in the NRL, which would be a nice boost for the Bunnies going into the finals.
Yeah, they were superb on Friday night. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, boys.
Dean Bulldog Richie there with all the latest in rugby league. Time now to speak to our man. You want to get a car, Roman? This is where you go.
Only one person.
Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Hello, Scotty.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Morning, Scotty. Terrific, mate.
Tell me, mate, did we sell that car last week?
Yes, boys.
Hey, you're beauty.
Congratulations to Mick and May McCormick. They heard the ad last week. They're obviously long-time listeners of the program, and they're now happily driving their Ford Territory Kia. So well done to Mick and May McCormick. They've got a great car there.
Good stuff, good stuff. Righto, we like building on our success here.
Keep the momentum going.
That's
here,
right.
Scotty.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful Subaru Outback wagon on special for the listeners. This is a 2006 Outback 3-litre spec R all-wheel drive. And like the Ghia last week, this one's priced to sell. It's black in colour. It has suede leather seats, climate control air conditioning, 4 airbags, ABS brakes, cruise control, traction control, power windows, 17-inch alloy wheels. This one also has the roof racks and tow pack. It's powered by the 3-litre engine and a 5-speed automatic transmission. This car drives and looks fantastic. It's unbelievably cheap today. It's just $4,990 drive away. And yes, we will include the stamp duty. And as an added extra, we're also going to throw in 12 months warranty free of charge. So it's $4,990 drive away plus 12 months warranty. Go to the website www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great drive away price and 12 months free warranty as well, all for just $4,990.
And you can help with finance as well, Scotty?
Certainly can. If it's finance anyone's after, if it's not this car, but any car or truck, and we've got access to a number of lenders, it allows us to get the best possible rates and also helps us get a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car or truck. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work truck or car, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 96375024, and we'll help you get into a vehicle as soon as today.
Could be a truck too. You've got Mick Appleby with the Good Truck Wholesalers there, but what about your Canterbury Cup side, alive and well?
Certainly are, boys. Played Bulldogs yesterday at Ringrose Park. Bulldogs were coming third. We needed to win to stay in the chase for the semis. We won 28 points. 20, So it does keep us alive. And, boys, when he's Ron Massey Cup side, they play Guildford today at Macready Park at 3. And a win today will pretty much wrap up the minor premiership for the coach, Brett Cook, and his team. So well done to those guys.
Great job. Scotty. Well done, Scotty. Righto, we'll sell this car this week. We'll be on again next week, Scotty.
All right, boys, and I can't wait to get...